All right, I lost a bet in last year's Super Bowl, so this is my punishment for about 5 minutes. So anyway, for those of you that are visiting at Genesis Metro, this is Jersey Sunday, and really every Sunday during football season is Jersey Sunday, so feel free. But we celebrate this every year because the best season of the year is not summer, fall, spring, winter, it is football season. And so football season officially starts today. College season kicked off last week, high school a couple weeks ago, so it's all exciting to me. And we've been doing a series called At the Movies, and every week we've looked at an epic classic from the past, and today is going to be no exception. And when you think about the pantheon of great football movies, I mean, there are so many. I mean, recently there was a funny one that was remade that I grew up watching as a kid, The Longest Yard. Great, great show. Remember back when I was in high school, there was The Program. And of course, 1A, 1B, I mean, 1B to me, Remember the Titans, right? I mean, that's a great football movie. If We Don't Come Together on This Hollow, anyway, it's just a great movie. But if you're going to take the most inspirational football movie of all time, It's not even close. It's not even close. And that movie is Rudy, right? Can I get an amen? Can we get a clap for Rudy? Rudy, great, great football movie. And why is that? Because it has all the elements of a great story, of being raised in a system, in a family, in a belief that you can't. And there's no greater story than the story of overcoming. Overcoming not just modest means to go on to a prestigious university, but overcoming your father's opinion of what you can and can't do. Man, I hope today that we can unfold a message around this truth that we all have voices in our head guiding us through the twists and turns of life. How do you know if you can trust the voice that is guiding you? I promise you that we're going to look at a dichotomy, a simple A-B logic, whether or not you're listening to any other voice or the voice of God. Because the voice of God will lead you to light, will lead you to hope, will allow you to accomplish your dream, to overcome setbacks, obstacles, and mistakes. Redemption and grace are always at the foot of the throne of God. And so today, in case you are a sad soul that has never seen this incredible movie, I want to set it up for you. The scene that we're about to watch is Rudy has had his best friend die in a plant accident, and that has given him a gift. Sometimes whenever you go through tragedies, although they are sad, and although they are hurtful and full of heartache, they are always a gift that allows you to choose, are you going to allow this to make you better or make you bitter? Are you going to allow this to be a moment of clarity from which you can draw strength and know what life is really all about, or you allow it to destroy you and descend into depression or pessimism? Here, Rudy has chosen to go after his dream in spite of everything he was raised to believe. And the conversation we're about to watch is Rudy and his father is going to attempt to dissuade him from his dream. And then there's going to be a second clip I'm going to sandwich on this, and it's when Rudy has now arrived at Notre Dame, but he has no idea what to do. And he has a talk with a priest in which he has an epiphany, a pivot in his perception of now how he's going to live life. And so if you would, at this time, watch this clip with me, and then we'll talk about it for the rest of the sermon.
Take a couple of weeks off. grandfather saved all of his life to bring the family to this country. He got a good job in the stockyards. He had a nice little house in South Chicago. I was about 12. Somebody sold him on the idea he ought to move to the country and become a dairy farmer. He buys some land, you know, gets a couple hundred cows. Within 5 months, every one of those cows was dead with disease. It was the depression. Couldn't sell the land. There's no work. So one day, he took off. Didn't come back. My brothers and me, we split up to live with friends and relatives. Chasing a stupid dream causes nothing but you and everyone around you heartache. Notre Dame is for rich kids, smart kids, great athletes. It's not for us. You're a Rudiger. There's nothing in the world wrong with being a Rudiger. You can have a damn nice life. Frank is going to take over plant number two in a couple of years and make more than me and Johnny. You know he's in charge of the expansion program.
I don't want to be Frank or John.
Why are you here?
I want to go to school at Notre Dame.
Well, have you applied?
No, my grades have never been very good, even though I tried. But I'll try harder. I'll study 20 hours a day if I have to.
This university, it's not for everybody.
Ever since I was a kid, I wanted to go to school here. And ever since I was a kid, everyone said it couldn't be done. My whole life, people have been telling me what I could do and couldn't do. I've always listened to them, believed in what they said. I don't want to do that anymore.
The demons. Now I'm ready to preach a sermon. Man, I don't want to do that anymore. That is like such a great line, isn't it? I've listened to them. Every day of my life, people told me what I could and couldn't do, and I believed them. Man, if that is not an epitaph that is written on the grave of many lives, then I don't know what is. Today, I hope you realize that there is a voice guiding you, and I hope it's the voice of God. I hope it's the promise of God. I hope you have a dream inside of you that is God ordained. Because there are going to be what I will refer to as dream crushers. Dream crushers. They are everywhere all the time, just waiting to crush your little heart. Yes, has anybody ever experienced a dream crusher? Just by show of hands, I bet everyone in here at some point has experienced a dream crusher. Here was Rudy. He's had his moment of clarity, and those moments don't come around very often, by the way. And now he's sitting there ready to embark. Everything that he owns is in an army sack, and he's got it there. He's ready to go, and his father sits down, and it feels like when you first hear the clip that it's going to be a father-son chat, some fatherly advice, some wisdom is going to be bestowed. And then there's that pivot inside that conversation where he says, Then he took off. He left us. He never came back. We got split up between our relatives, chasing your stupid dream. Did you see Rudy's face? A picture is worth a thousand words, right? You saw the destruction that his father was levying on his dream, and he didn't even have to say a word. Chasing your stupid dream only hurts you and everyone around you. What was his father doing there? Simple psychology. His father was taking his past hurt, right? And he was projecting it on his son's future hope. Projecting his past hurt on his son's future hope. What does it look like when we navigate life out of hurt instead of hope? Man, I'm telling you this morning, if you were paying for counseling, I'm getting ready to give you at least a couple of $1,000 worth of lessons this morning. So you better get ready. Think about it for a moment. How many people operate out of past hurt? And they falsely believe that what they can do is they can wrap their arms around life and control it to the point that they can prevent any risk whatsoever. Helicopter parents, have you seen any of those in today's culture? That our goal is to shield them from all harm? Man, rub some dirt on it. Can I get an amen? I mean, get back out there. I don't care if you cry. You're going to finish because you committed to finishing the game. Amen. Can I get an amen? Oh, here, come here, baby. Let me pat you on the back. You just quit all your life. No. No. My gosh. How many people operate, make decisions predicated on a past event? They live a reactionary lifestyle that is not rooted in hope, but it's rooted in past hurt. Think about it for just a moment. Rudy's dad felt abandoned, and as a result, he was going to attempt to restrict the abilities of what his own son could accomplish. If you're not careful, if you allow past hurt to take over, to consume you, past mistakes that you've made to consume you, then pretty soon you'll begin navigating and deciding out of reaction to your hurt, not out of the hope that is provided in God, in Christ, the hope of eternal life, the hope that he has a plan for you, a plan to prosper you, a plan to guide you, that he has already ordered the footsteps of your path, that if you just walk behind him, he will get you to the promised land. As a matter of fact, the verse that I want to use this morning is a template for which we're going to look at today's message. In John chapter 10, verse 10, it gives you a simple decision, a dichotomy of the difference between God and the enemy. It says the enemy comes to do three things. What are they? Let's say it together. To steal, kill, and destroy. To steal, kill, and destroy. When you operate out of hurt and not out of hope, this will be the domination of your life. The fruit on your tree is that you allow the enemy to come in and to speak into your life. And as he speaks into your life, you will see that things that God wanted you to have are stolen. Things that God meant to live are killed. The dreams that God had for you are destroyed, all predicated on who you allow to be the voice in your life. It says that the Son, on the other hand, Jesus said, I came that you might have life. And not just life, but life to the full, life abundantly. I want you to ask yourself, do a simple inventory right now in this moment. Are you living the abundant life? Is your life marked by the joy of God? Are you passionate about what you do for a living? Or have you allowed the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy the dream that you had growing up? Think about it. Think carefully. Because with God on our side, every day is a good day. Every day is a day that he has breathed life into us, opportunity into us. But whenever you operate out of hurt and not out of hope, there are markers through which you can evaluate whether or not you're allowing the enemy to speak into your life. Number one, they'll be restrictive, which we discussed just a moment ago, and they'll try to control things, but they'll also be pessimistic. They will never see the bright side. I want you to think about it. I want you to think about your viewpoint, your perspective. The people that watch you, I want you to step outside of yourself and ask yourself, are you that person? Are you the person that's always negative, always critical, always thinking about how it's going to go wrong, or how you don't even deserve the opportunity that you've been given? Every time someone tries to build you up in your mind, you take the bricks that they've used to build you up and you begin to dismantle them. Man, if you're operating out of hurt, it's not going to be defined by joy. It's going to be defined by bitterness. I want to ask you a question. Your happiness factor as you walked in here this morning, your contentment factor, where is it? If the sun came to give you life, and I thought when we got to 1080p that we were like maxed out, but guess what? They're going to come up with something new, so you have to buy something new. Right now we got what? 4K, Ultra HD. Do you know that Jesus said that he came that you might be able to live life in ultra HD? And some of us, because we've allowed the other voices to become our choices, all of a sudden we're living life less than what he's offering us this morning. And that's not his fault. He says, it's right here. I'm offering it to you. You got to make a choice. Are you going to live in standard? Have you ever tried to watch standard definition now? It's terrible, right? It's like, why did I ever watch that? That's like black and white back in the day. And here God is offering you ultra HD and you're going to settle? What if Rudy would have allowed his father's voice to become his choice? What does it look like when we allow other people's voices that aren't God to become our choices? You are going to limit the dream that God had for your life. The moment that you allow anyone to step into the place of God, you're effectively saying that I worship them more than him. That even if it's you, sometimes you are the voice inside your own head. And God is saying, crown me and I will take you to the promised land. Life. And life, not just life to its fullest, he said, is available in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Father, if he would have listened to him, because he was operating out of hurt, came that day and sat down. Woo! Can't you just see that picture? I mean, my goodness, some of you are like right there on the edge, right? You're at the bus stop this morning. You got your bag packed. You're ready. You're ready to take a step. You're ready to move on to God's phase for your life. And guess who's going to come sit down beside you this morning in church? Oh, yeah, the dream crusher. The dream crusher is going to come sit down beside you. Can't do that. Stupid. How many times have you been ready to say yes to God? Packed your stuff up, got rid of all that stuff in your past, and someone comes along and says, "Nah, you can't do that. Your mistakes in your past, they define you. The hurt that you've experienced in the past, it can find you. You can't escape." Man, this morning, if you've allowed hurt to define you, you won't have hope this morning. But I'm so glad the Son said that he came to give life and life to the full. If you will hear his voice and allow his voice to become your choice, you will walk out of here changed by the grace of God. I want to dive into our illustration of this verse in Daniel chapter 3. I want to tell you a story. It'll be up there as a reference point. But in Daniel chapter 3, great story, if you've never read it, of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Man, three of the Israelites that were in captivity in Babylon under the great king Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar believes himself to be God. And he sets up a law that says that whenever you hear the music play, you have to bow down and worship. And if you don't, you're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. His prefects, his counselors around him come to him and say, there's these three guys and they will not bow down. And so he calls them in, and we pick up in our verses, and it says, is it true? Is it true that you refuse to bow down and worship my God? Me, really, as God? He said, I'm going to tell you what. If you're ready, when the music plays, you better bow down. Because if you don't, you need to know, I'm going to throw you into the fiery furnace. And he asks a question, and this is the question I want to fixate on at the end of this verse. And who is the God? Who is the God that will deliver you from my hand? Do you know that the God that sits on the throne above that we worship, the only true God, is always just like, what did he say? What did he just say? Did he say, what God would be able to deliver you from? Our God loves to show up on our behalf. And so they respond back to him. Look at their response. They said, oh, king, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. Like, we don't have to pray about it. See, some of you are like, you use prayer as an equivocation. And what does that mean? That means that you don't have to pray about things that God already said, right? Like some of you are like, I don't know, honey, should we go to church today? Let's pray about it. No, you don't have to pray about whether you should go to church. Like, that's like saying like, yeah, you know what? Should we read our Bible? I don't know, let's pray about it. Well, should we read yes, it's already stated. You know you should read your Bible. And giving, that's a big one. People are like, well, we better pray about it before we start giving. No, that's already decided. You don't have to pray. There are some things that you don't have to pray about because they are decided. And I love that these guys already have this foundation. God's voice is already their choice. If you wait to the moment of decision to have that voice in your life, you will fall and you will fail, and the enemy will come and he will steal, kill, and destroy. You have to have that voice already inside of you, deep down at the foundation of your decision-making process. And then when you are faced with the decision of whether or not you will bow down, you will find the inner strength to say, we're not careful to answer you on this matter. Next verse. Next verse. Oh, that's it. If it be so that our God that we serve is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace and out of your hand, it says, we're not careful to answer this because we believe that our God is able, but if it's not, if he doesn't deliver us, know this. He says, we will not bow down, O king. What is his response? It says that he was furious and he said, heat up the furnace seven times hotter. So get it hot. And so they heat it up. He says, now bind them. And they tie these three Hebrew children, I mean, like all bound up. And it says, when they opened the door to throw them in, as they threw them in, the fire leapt out and consumed the guys that were throwing them in. It was that hot. And it says that a miraculous thing happens next. A miraculous thing happens next. It says that as Nebuchadnezzar looks into the fiery furnace, just imagine this incredible flame is raging. He said, have you ever done a double take? Has anybody ever Like, you saw something so incredible. You say, like, you like, did that just happen? I mean, like today, when Dak Prescott takes the field, it's going to be amazing, folks. It's going to be amazing. Like Eli is Nebuchadnezzar in this story. I just want you to know that. And Dak Prescott is like the three Hebrew children. It's going to be amazing, all right? 24-17, going to happen. 150 yards rushing for the Cowboys plus. All right, it's going to happen. It's already decided. And so, here they are. He looks into the fiery furnace. He says, did we not throw in three? And yet, this can't be. There's a fourth one, and he's like unto the Son of God. Now, wait a minute. Nebuchadnezzar is a pagan king, and yet he's able to discern what deity looks like. When we make decisions for God to stand up rather than bow down, even the pagans can recognize who we worship. And so he says, bring them out. So they come out of the fiery furnace. And it says that they were walking around in there. They were walking around, hanging out with Jesus. They were moonwalking. I don't know. They were dabbing. I don't know. It was an amazing thing that was going on. And so they bring them out. And it's the three Hebrews. And it says that the fire had not touched their clothes. It had not touched their hair on their head. As a matter of fact, it says the smell of smoke wasn't even on them. The only thing that was consumed in the fire was the ropes that bound them. I want you to think about it for a moment. We can't allow other people's beliefs to determine our behavior. You see, Nebuchadnezzar believed he was a god, and he believed that you should bow down. And they said, we will not allow your belief to determine our behavior. And he looked through a lens, and we can't allow their lens to become our limitation. He said, I believe I'm a god. Therefore, I believe I have your fate in my hand. I believe I can bind you, and I believe I can destroy you. I came today for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to steal, kill, and destroy. That was the lens through which he looked at the situation. And the Hebrew children said, your lens is not my limitation. Why? Because I have a God that is able. Man, if you don't have a God that is able this morning, you are not going to operate out of hope. You're going to operate out of hurt. And so there they were. They said, our God is able. That's why they were willing to walk through the fire. Your lens is not my limitation. And so he saw them as bound. And they were willing to walk through the fire because they saw themselves as blessed. He said, I will destroy you. They said, we have a dream from God that cannot be destroyed, that our God is able. The problem was not as big as the prescription. God is bigger than your circumstance. And you have to believe that he's able if you're going to walk through the fire. Man, the enemy believes that he knows how it's going to end. The dream crusher said, chasing after your stupid dream only hurts you and everyone around you. Because his father believed he knew how it was going to end. Nebuchadnezzar believed he knew how it was going to end. Aren't you glad that we have a God that is not confined by the beliefs or the lens through which someone else looks at our life? Do you understand what I'm saying here this morning? That their lens is not your limitation. That they don't get to decide how your story ends. What your boss says about you has nothing to bear upon what God says about you. What your father or mother told you you couldn't do, couldn't be, has nothing to bear on the dream that God has in store for you. It's already picked out. It's already set up. The path has already been laid. But at some point, you got to decide that the dream is worth dying for, that the dream is worth going through the fire for. And some of you, as you're sitting in here this morning, I pity you a little bit, because as I'm talking about God's dream for your life, you're saying to yourself, I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't have a God dream in my life. I didn't even know there was a God dream. You know why? You haven't ever stopped in your busy life long enough to just open the book. Open the book. The words, the roadmap, the answers to all the problems, the prescriptions to all the problems, they're all right there inside that book. You haven't prayed long enough to realize that the job you hate is a stepping stone in the dream that God has given you. And if you would learn to embrace it through a lens of faith, what could he do where you're at? But if you look at it and operate out of hate or bitterness, and you walk into work every day hating life, that's no way, that's not the life that he picked out for you. Nebuchadnezzar had a reality the way he thought about it. And his reality was not their restriction. Think about it. You can't allow what other people think to be final in your own personal fate. They don't get to decide for you how your story ends. Today, this morning, if you would choose the Son, you could be set free. If you would choose the Son, he would give you life and life more abundantly. If you would choose the Son, he can raise things that seem like they have passed away. It said that the fire had no power over them. Yesterday, this very stage, we buried one of our own members. Miss Mary passed away this week, sudden, leaving behind 12-year-old son. Family flew in from Alabama and all over the place, and they were sitting right here on this front row. And I watched them grieve over the loss of a sister, a daughter, a mother. And as a pastor, you're so hopeful in those moments because you can look at them and give them light in the midst of their dark moment. Just like the Hebrews, I can look at that family and I can say, the fire has no power over her. That her body that was broken is now healed on the other side. That there is no more sorrow. There is no more pain on the other side. That the great physician is able to do what he does best. Because the Son came to give life, and not just life, but life to the full. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I don't know what people have been telling you right now in your life. So many people that come from broken homes, they grow up and they don't even know who they are. And somewhere along the way, they lose themselves, and then they're pulled toward these other influences in their life that are trying to steal, kill, and destroy them before they even get out of high school. What do we need? What do we need if we're going to navigate through these turbulent waters? At some point, we have to choose the Son of God and the firm foundation of the Word and the surrounding of the church. And as we avail ourselves to all the opportunities that God has put in our lives, we can stand and say, we don't have to pray about it. We don't have to pray about it. We will not bow down to any other God besides the one that died on the cross and rose again. Man, he came to give you life. Why would you settle for less than the life that he's offered you here today? Does anyone in here need to have a perspective shift about what this life is all about? Have you allowed someone else's voice to dictate and determine the choices that you're making about yourself, about what marriage looks like, about what parenting looks like? Every now and then, I think all of us have those little visions And sometimes we see the worst of ourselves. And we remember how we were raised. And we even said, I'm never going to do that. I'm never going to say that. I'm never going to be that. And yet, without resolve and discipline and God's word and his spirit guiding us, we fall into the same traps that we were raised in. He came to give you life, freedom, redemption, a brand new start. But you got to choose it this morning. You got to choose it. Would you bow your heads? Father, we come before you, and God, we want life. The enemy has stolen so much from so many in this room. Some of them, he's stolen a family. He's stolen parents. He's stolen peace. He's stolen purpose. He's stolen passion. People that once were great people of faith have now become busy, distracted, or bitter. And they are useless in the kingdom of God because they're operating out of hurt and not out of hope. God, I pray this morning that you would break the chains that bind them. That, Father, they would wake up and have their moment of clarity. That even though they've gone through some pain, that pain is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to say, I have trusted in God to take me through the fire, and the situation that they feel like has bound them all of a sudden could bless them if they would turn to the Son of God and realize you will never walk through the fire alone. Man, he is right there, only a prayer away. Come on. If we want to see our city change, if we want to see our nation change, at some point, some people in this room have to have the passion to go through the fire. Not self-preservation, but self-sacrifice. If you want to have a great marriage, you got to go through the fire. You can't quit when it gets hard. If you want to be a great parent, you can't worry about being liked. If you want to win your campus, you can't worry about being popular. At some point, you have to say that Jesus Christ is worth everything, and I want that life. I'll fight for that life. I want that dream, because that dream is my destiny that he's offered me, and I'd rather have everything of his and leave everything of the world. Would you stand and worship?